Fuck Like a Goddess was something that I created as an approach to how I was having sex. So I was married for about 9 years monogamously to a man. And when I got divorced, I wanted to fall in love with myself. I had separated from myself. I had lost myself in this relationship. And I really wanted to learn to take up space. And so after what I like to call my year of casual sex, I wanted to explore, am I kinky? Am I queer? Am I this? But the way that I was moving in these new relationships was very much from a place of, please choose me, please desire me. And I didn't know what I needed. I didn't know what I wanted. I just wanted to be something other people wanted. And after that year of fuckery, I decided, oh no, you cannot come into my erotic space without an offering that's appropriate for a goddess. And I wanted to remember that I'm deserving of this offering that nourishes me, that fills my cup.
Welcome to the Open Bedroom Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Kalo. Welcome to conversations about open relationships, online dating, conscious uncoupling, and creating the relationship that truly aligns for you. Welcome to another episode of the Open Bedroom. Today, I have sex and pleasure educator Luna Matatas on, and I'd like to stop and read her bio for you. Luna Matatas is a sex and pleasure educator with over 10 years of experience in sexual health and wellness internationally and here locally. Her playful approach to sexuality draws on the creativity, confidence, and communication skills we all need to fulfill our pleasure potential. She teaches people how to build a better relationship to their bodies, practice empathy with their partners' insecurity and needs, and how to get curious about their erotic imagination. That sounds delicious. Luna's classes are trauma and equity informed and include pleasure topics like anal play to feminine dominance and how to have a threesome. Now, the reason that I have Luna on today is she has several different online courses that look really interesting. And when I first got connected to Luna, I found her on Instagram through a friend of a friend who was following her. And I saw her Instagram feed and I'm like, who is this woman? Her branding is bright and vibrant. And she had, I think, one of these. Ooh, I have one right here. She had one of these gorgeous vagina pillows. So if you're watching on YouTube or on Spotify, she has one similar to me that just kind of comes apart for educational reasons. And she was posing with it and it was really vibrant and beautiful. And I was like, I don't know who this woman is, but I need to have her on my podcast. So here are some of the classes that she has. Peg the Patriarchy. So she does a class on pegging. Meditate, Medicate, Masturbate. I'm just going to let you imagine what that is. Fuck Like a Goddess. And she has a podcast. It says she's the host of Bee Vibes podcast, all about anal sex, called The Plug Podcast. You guys, this is going to be such an amazingly fun episode. I'm thrilled to have her on. Let me go get Miss Luna. And today we are talking about fucking like a goddess. Hang on and I'll bring her on. All right. Thank you for listening to the intro. I have Luna Matatas on. I'm so excited to have you on, Luna. Would you tell us about you? Like, because I don't know that any of my listeners will know you yet. So tell us a little bit about you, how you got to be in this space, and what are you up to these days?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love talking about sex. So, you know, we're going to have a great conversation. And I started talking about sex from a very public health kind of perspective. So I moved from kind of talking with people about condoms and sexually transmitted infections to pleasure, and really understanding what are the things that we need to create the conditions that will maximize our pleasure. So I get the joy of being a sex and pleasure educator, which means I teach classes, I do one-on-one coaching, I get to teach at events and universities, and I'm based in Toronto, but I get to teach everywhere. So everyone gets this big message of more pleasure and less shame,
which we all need. I'm curious, with you being a Canadian, how do Canadians feel about conversations about sex?
Yeah. So
I think they might be like a little bit more uptight about it, but I'm not sure if that's true.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a mix. I think there's lots of people who think that sex education is more like inflammatory than helpful. And so there's conservative values around sex education in school for young people, or more inclusive sex ed. And then, you know, we have a ton of really progressive and inclusive people who understand that sex ed is actually part of any of our health curriculums. Like it's a part of us, it's a part of our health, and the information that people get as young people or as adults are actually just creating safer and more joyful experiences for people. So we all have the same goal, but I think people kind of feel the approaches might be more aligned with their values depending on whether they're more conservative or more progressive.
Okay, I want to ask you another question then in the same vein.
Yeah,
you are very much in the public spotlight, as I am. Like, you use your name, and I'm curious, how does this resonate with your family? Like, have you had some, Luna, what are you doing? You are shaming the family talking about these things in public, or do you have a pretty supportive family?
Yeah, my family, when I first started doing sexual health, I was talking about condoms. I was talking about things that also you don't really talk about at home. And I went to Catholic school, so I didn't learn anything about sex other than how to get pregnant. Like, I didn't learn anything that I'm teaching now. So I didn't have a family that talked about sex in a conversational way. We weren't some sort of, like, you know, I don't know, like sitcom version of a family that talks about sex openly. I think my mom gave me a book called 28 Days from the library when I got my period. Like, that was the only interaction we had talking about sex. So as an adult, you know, they knew I was teaching about condoms. They knew it was from like a health perspective. They knew it was for public health. And when I moved into teaching things more like I teach today, which are feminine dominance or, you know, sex skills or navigating challenges in the bedroom, that's stuff I don't want to talk to my parents about, but they're very happy that I'm doing something that is really in service of community. And so that I get to help people in this really vulnerable space where we have such a void of education. So I think they feel that I'm still on that do-gooder kind of a pathway, and they're pretty happy about it. But that's, I don't know so what cute. They tell their friends that I do. I have no idea. They probably still say I'm some sort of like public health nurse or something.
That's hilarious, because when I see your stuff, I'm like, this Luna is naughty. So I'm curious, when did you step into your sexuality? I was also raised Catholic, so I'm like,
oh, were you?
Were you like just born with it? Like, were you kind of just a sexual being coming out of the womb, or did you find yourself at some point in your life?
I love that question, because I remember getting caught masturbating when I was four. Yeah. And I remember my mom shaming me and telling me, you know, don't do this ever again. Yeah. And she was like, and I won't tell your dad if you don't do it again. Aww. And I think many people are like this, where it just feels good to touch our bodies. At four, I'm not sexual. I'm just touching my body because it feels nice. And I think that I had that shame along with this really intuitive desire that it's my body. Like, why can't I touch it if it feels good? So there was this inner conflict for me, and definitely all the guilt and shame from Catholic school was leaning heavily on one side. I credit I was volunteering for a gay men's sexual health network. And so at that time, I was a teenager in the 90s, and it was very much around gay men and HIV AIDS prevention. That was kind of all we were talking about around HIV. And it was the first time that it occurred to me that people had sex for reasons other than making babies. And I was like, wait, what? They're putting what? Where? Why? And it really just like sparked this curiosity in me. And I started going online. I started looking at things. I was in chat rooms. I was reading erotica, porn wasn't as accessible then. Right. and really just being erotically curious. And so sexually, I didn't have sex for the first time until I think I was like 21. And I really didn't have that same connection between eroticism and sex. I thought you could feel erotic, you could enjoy masturbation, you could have your little dirty mind, and then sex is something you do with other people. I didn't understand that they intersected or that they even existed. So yeah, very much I think I was a sexual person, but I think a lot of us are, and we just get that light blocked and shamed out of us. And it's really hard to reclaim it if we ever want to.
I love that. So I'm curious if, like, when you decided what you were going to do with your life, I imagine that you chose something non-sexual to begin with, that you were like, I'm going to be an accountant. And then somehow found your way into this world of sex education and exploration and holding space for clients and creating online courses and like the magic that you have created in this world. Would you give us like a little cliff note version of how in the world you got here?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I left university, I actually went to work in Kenya. And so I was in Kenya for about 2 years, and I was working with fishing communities and villages around HIV and how it was affecting their business. So when I came back home, I still stayed in kind of the nonprofit sector, which helped me learn about trans and queer people. It helped me explore my own identity. But then I did veer off into, I was like, I need to make money. And so I veered off into from public health communications into more general communication. So I was doing PR and communications for things like transit or insurance. It didn't really matter to me. Mm-hmm. And I started doing my sex ed stuff on the side. So I would like go to my day job, and then I'd be like a sexy superhero and go teach how to have a threesome at a sex shop. Okay, so Fuck Like a Goddess was something that I created as an approach to how I was having sex. So I was married for about 9 years monogamously to a man. And when I got divorced, the first thing that I wanted to do was fall in love with myself. I had separated from myself. I had lost myself in this relationship, and I really wanted to learn to take up space. And so after I went through what I like to call my year of like casual sex and, you know, I call it my year of fuckery, but I wanted to explore, am I kinky? Am I queer? Am I this? But the way that I was moving in these new relationships was very much from a place of like, please choose me, please desire me. And I didn't know what I needed. I didn't know what I wanted. I just wanted to be something other people wanted. And so after that year of fuckery, I decided, oh no, you cannot come into this space, into my erotic space, without an offering that's appropriate for a goddess. And so I wanted to remember that I'm deserving of this offering that nourishes me, that, you know, fills my cup and not only takes from me. So now I sort of approach it in that way. If I'm doing something with someone and I start to get in my head that I'm not good enough, I stop myself and I think, oh, wait a minute, I forgot, I'm a goddess. And so it's very much about feeling that you deserve to receive. You absolutely deserve to receive things that are quality and appropriate for you.
Oh my God, yes. Okay.
Yes, right.
The thing that popped in my mind while you were saying all that is your year of fuckery.
Yes.
And I've also heard it as like, you know, the year, my whole years.
Yeah. Whole years. Yeah.
And I want to ask you a question about that particular time for you. And so I'm going to like take us back up for a minute to kind of look down. I have noticed, and you can, I want to hear your point of view on this, but I have noticed that men in particular have a hard time with women who have had a year of fuckery or years of fuckery or your whole years or learning to find your fucking self. And men have a hard time imagining that this beautiful, wonderful woman in front of them has had all these sexual experiences without them. And so I'm curious, A, what allowed you to, you know, give yourself permission to go and explore and taste the cafeteria and figure out what you wanted? Because I find a lot of women in particular have a really hard time allowing themselves. I also had that time. I had the time of hoeing, and I am so grateful for it. And so like, talk to us about that time.
Yes. Yeah. I think my time of hoeing will come again and again. I think it was a beautiful way to be really intentional and really free. I felt very erotically liberated. I felt so comfortable in my body because there wasn't as much of an emotional investment. And so that's a positive and a negative thing. I think when we're emotionally invested in people, there's wonderful rewards that come from that. And there's also stuff that's not so great that comes out of that. So I took it as a let's play. And so really I gave myself permission to play. I wanted to experience everything. I remember my bestie and I sitting outside of a sex club. She had gotten divorced the year before. And we were like in corsets and, you know, our tits were up to our chin. And we're looking at everybody being like, are they hotter than us? Are they older than us? Is everyone in a couple? You know, all this comparison, right? And what got us out of the car was, who cares? You know, like really, like, who cares? We don't know these people. They don't know us. Like, we're here for an experience. So I sort of framed all of those desires of wanting, I wanted connection, I wanted touch, I wanted sex, all the things I wasn't having in my marriage and for so long. But I also wanted to build a relationship to my own erotic self. And that took experiential learning for me. It took reflecting. It took, you know, learning lessons from making mistakes. And this is something that I end up teaching in my sexual confidence classes, is that really the external validation of other people is just not the same kind of juiciness as having your own cup really full. And then they get to be something that is bonus. You know, they get your overflow. And that's really Fuck Like a Goddess too, is very much keeping that cup, that chalice, that gorgeousness inside of you very full.
So yummy. And I know that feeling because I felt it. And I remember when I gave myself permission to taste the rainbow, you know, and I would like meet up with a man for the first time and I would walk into their place or wherever we were meeting and take my clothes off. And they would be like, oh my God, you are so beautiful. And all these things in my head are like, okay, I'm okay. I don't need to be freaked out. My body is perfect, even though I don't think it's perfect. Like, they think it's perfect. And then I heard it over and over and over. And I was like, okay. I am sexy. Yes. I am hot. I am fun. I am, you know, all the things, fill in the blank. So my last question is, during this time of exploration that you allowed yourself to have, what did you find? What did you learn?
I learned that I had very little boundaries. I learned that I very much was willing to go along to get along. Like, and I thought that that was a great thing. I thought being low maintenance was a wonderful thing. And I also learned that, you know, it's actually very, what you said about that appearance piece, that you get this gift of other people's compliments, their adoration, you know, that they see you as sexy and you get to see yourself through their gaze, which is so amazing. And then there's another gaze that I didn't even know I was missing. Like, I didn't know I was missing my own gaze. I had no idea, because for someone to tell me I was beautiful, that was hard for me to believe. But if you told me, you know, or if you told me I was dumb or that I'm not smart or something, I would fight you, because I believe in me that I'm intelligent and that I don't need you to validate that. But because I don't believe in me that I'm beautiful, it was so easy to take me down. So it was like a great experience to have that and to hold it, but then to not stay there. Like, it's like, no, we can't stay in that place of external validation, external affirmation. That's just something that's bonus.
I love that. I want to share one thing that I learned on my journey.
Yeah.
If you want to hear it. Okay.
Yes.
I learned that I like women.
Ooh.
I allowed myself to explore. And I remember being younger, maybe 5 or 6, and playing on the playground with this girl named Sarah. And they had these big tires, think like the monster truck tires. They had them cut in half on the playground and then like stuck in the ground. So you could like get inside the tires and like form yourself into the tire and you could become almost invisible. And this girl named Sarah and I would go into the tires and like, I remember we kissed a few times and I remember this feeling like, ooh, this is a nice feeling. I like this. And then I never thought about it again. I never did anything with a woman again until I had this opportunity and I had opened up my last marriage and allowed myself to taste the rainbow. And I was like, I want to explore my sexuality. I want to explore and see if I've always thought women were so beautiful. And I'm curious if I sexually want to be with them. And so I got to like take a woman on a date and like talk about things over dinner. And I had sex with a woman and I was like, this is awesome. And that moment when you realize like, I'm bisexual and you can put a new label onto who you are of like, this is for me. And it feels really good. And I tried it on and I think I want some more.
I love that. I love that. I love that your curiosity led you to this new identity.
Yeah. Hey there. Did you know that I do online coaching? Yes, I do online coaching in the sex and relationship space. Some of the topics that are near and dear to my heart are open relationships. So that includes polyamory, swinging, or what we call the lifestyle. I also love conversations around online dating. We're talking Bumble, Tinder, Field, and more. And then the last thing that is really passionate and close to my heart is conscious uncoupling. That means we get to break up with people with love and respect, with dignity and hope. We get to create a life for our children that gets to be a little bit different. We can do things better than we have in the past. So if any of these topics sound interesting to you and you'd love to get some coaching from me, check out the link in the show notes or the link in my bio for more information.